Hey everybody, my name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I'm super excited to get to talk to you guys today. We are finishing up our series on what it means to be the church. We talked first about the church as an army and as a hospital and as a family. We spent several weeks focusing on areas where we live that out, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our city, in our world. This has admittedly been a series targeted more towards people who call the Emerson Vineyard home, but I'm super excited that everybody else is here too, because I think that you can catch a glimpse of what our heart is for you, and in turn what Jesus' heart is for you as we talk about what it means to be the church. And I'm captivated by this phrase, be the church. I love when we end each week with the phrase, be the church, because I think it neatly captures a really simple but profound truth that's easy to miss about church, and that is this: you are always the Emerson Vineyard. In line at a grocery store, on the phone in your office, at home with your kids, you and me and all of us here, we are always the Emerson Vineyard, which is another way of saying that we are always followers of Jesus, because ultimately that's what's at stake here. No part of our life is separate from Jesus. He isn't one of many options or things that we think through as we're making our choices. He's the through line through our whole life. And Jesus gave us the local church as the place where we're going to live out following him. And so the two are inseparable for me. We are always followers of Jesus. We are always the Emerson Vineyard at home, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, in our city, in our world, and of course right here on Sunday mornings when we come to church. Now, that's a little intimidating, because if you start to unpack that, you realize that it means that somebody could reasonably draw a conclusion about what this church is like by watching what you're like. And for all the ways that that sounds like an awful lot of pressure, to me it's really exciting. I think too often belonging to a church becomes just one of many things that makes us who we are. You know, I'm Dave Sandell. I am a Bulls fan who's terrified of what two Derrick Rose knee injuries mean. I am super into this electronic artist named Burial. I'm an evangelist for Apple products, and I'm a member of the Evanston Vineyard. But one of those things is not like the others, right? So let's say that you, like me, are an avid fan of Apple. You've got your iPhone, maybe you have an iPad and a laptop, a MacBook. You use those things daily. You go out of your way to convince other people to swim in the Apple pool with you. There are times when you wonder how you would get through the day without an Apple product. But that does not mean that you are Apple. You aren't the brand. You aren't the product. You're a customer. And for the most part, you're not shaping what it means, what Apple's corporation means, what their brand means. No one is looking at you and drawing conclusions about what Apple's values are. Maybe you get some labels slapped on you by association, but you aren't Apple. But that's not true here. You aren't the customer at the Evanston Vineyard. You are the Evanston Vineyard. When someone comes up for prayer on a Sunday morning or visits a small group that you're a part of, their whole experience of the vineyard is shaped by you. When you serve somebody a cup of coffee or you say hi to somebody new around you after worship, the person on the other end of that exchange is deciding what the Evanston Vineyard is and if it's a church that they want to belong to as well. And this is evident, of course, most on a Sunday morning, so that's where we want to talk about today. We're talking about being the church at church, which is another way of saying being the church at 2495 Howard Street on Sunday mornings and various other days depending on your schedule. Now, suppose I were to get tickets to a symphony. My wife and I would get all dressed up. We would hop on the train to the city. We'd arrive at the CSO, find our seats. We'd settle in, and we'd listen to these practice musicians making something beautiful together. The oboes and violins would join in. There would be crescendos and diminuendos that would make the hairs on the back of our neck stand up. And we would swell to the finish, and then the conductor would lower his baton, and the crowd would erupt in applause. Or better yet, let's say I got courtside seats to a Bulls game. Yeah. We make our way there. These are both things that are not going to happen this year. We make our way there. We spend an evening watching athletes at the top of their game put on a spectacle of skill and creativity. A ball is blocked and rebounded. There's one, two, three passes through traffic. Somebody lobs a ball in the air. Somebody else slams a ball in the hoop. There's a foul called, and the crowd erupts in applause. As I watched my Bulls, or as I took in the symphony, I would inevitably daydream about what it was like if I were the one in the uniform, if I were the one holding the violin. I watch a movie and I dream about writing it or playing one of the parts. I eat a good meal and I daydream about being in the kitchen with the cooks and what that experience would be like. What's cool about church is we don't have to daydream. Everyone gets to be a part of the good stuff. On any given Sunday, hundreds of you are joining in to pass out programs and take care of kids and serve coffee and collect offering and run the sound and the slide deck and play an instrument, bring God's word in different languages, which how cool is that? That's so cool. When we do this, we are creating the church together. And I would go as far as to say that if you aren't being the church at church, you're missing a vital part of what it means to be the church, to go to the church. We talked earlier in the series about the church as a hospital for our souls and for our bodies, an army where we're fighting together for a great cause, and a family where we come and our family together each week. And I believe that the fullness of those things cannot be lived out unless you're serving in some capacity here. So in Romans chapter 8, 28 verses 29, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." So our calling is to be like Jesus. How do we do that? Matthew 23 says, "The greatest among you must be a servant." And later in chapter 28, "For even I, the Son of Man, have not come to serve," not come to be served, "but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many." You cannot become more like Jesus unless you are a servant. And there's admittedly something tempting about coming in on Sunday mornings, finding your seat, letting people serve us. There's nothing wrong with this. It's vital to come and take in what people are laying down here on Sunday mornings. It's how we stay connected to Jesus. But if we only receive and we never serve, I would argue that we're missing the most important thing. It's how we orient our hearts, either towards being served or towards serving. And however you orient your heart at the beginning of the week is how it's going to be oriented for the rest of the week. Serving is how we experience the fullness of discipleship and orient our hearts. On Sundays, we get to practice having a life oriented towards serving. We become mobilized to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We learn that God interrupts, that he can use us at any time. I believe that serving here puts that at the forefront of our mind for the entire week. And if we just come and consume, then consumption is at the forefront of our mind for the entire week. And one of my roles on staff is to oversee our Sunday morning welcome team, our greeters, our Vineyard Cafe baristas, our welcome center hosts, our offering collectors, and other people like them. And one of the most frustrating experiences we had, especially early on when I started, was we would ask people week after week to help out with collecting the offering. And if you don't know, collecting the offering is a two-minute commitment between the announcements and the beginning of the sermon. Not a whole lot going on then. And we regularly were told by people that they couldn't help with the offering because they just needed to be fed this morning. And I affirm that there are days, maybe even seasons, where you just need to come and receive. There are times in our life where we have given everything out that we can give and we're depleted. And we need our family to come around us and lift us up and breathe life back into us. So if you are in one of those seasons, we bless that. But if that season has lasted for months or years, I would pitch that picking up an offering basket may be the best possible next step. There have been times in my life where I just needed to grieve, where I had nothing left to give out because even the small serving in the smallest capacity sounded completely overwhelming. But it's really easy to get stuck there. It begins with depletion, but then it can become this warm cocoon that doesn't reveal its seams to us. It's really easy to stay in that warm inward space forever. We have to peek our heads out from behind our hiding places and serve other people. We follow Jesus' lead out of isolation and towards living our life for other people. I asked some of our team leaders to share with me how this has helped them, how serving has helped them move towards the fullness of being the church. And one of my team leaders, Adriana, said this. She said, "In the beginning, when I started attending the church, I usually listened to the preaching and then I was done. I started feeling like I would like to serve, and after a few months, there was a fair in the lobby which was looking for volunteers, and so I decided to sign up for two different activities. Now, serving at the church makes me feel helpful. To serve is part of the gifts that I have received from God. And when I'm serving, I always want to do my best because I'm working for God, and I get to meet new people every time I serve. It's a great way to be a little part of the church and a good opportunity to be the church at church." Following Jesus means making new choices to live differently, stepping into new possibilities. If we're to stay in the same place year after year, I would argue that we're not following Jesus. We're not following where he's leading us, because following Jesus means that movement is required. We grieve to move towards something new. It's active. We're invited to serve because serving gets us unstuck from those places, and we begin to become more like Jesus. Serving opens our hearts up to God. So it orients our hearts and it opens our hearts. It breaks loose the selfish, inward-directed places in our hearts, and it makes room for God. Which brings us to the next point. Being the church, a church, lets us experience the fullness of worship. It opens our hearts. Walking into this auditorium with a closed heart can put a pretty low ceiling on what you can give and receive with God in worship. Our volunteers know that worship starts not when you make your way into the auditorium, but when you first start serving in the morning. So last year we made this contract with many of our Sunday morning volunteers that I wanted to share with you. It's about being intentional, about getting our hearts ready for Sunday morning. Here's a part of what they affirmed. Number one, each person I encounter today is loved by God and needs to feel special. Number two, I need to make a personal impact through a smile, a word of kindness, or an act of love. Number three, I will remember what it feels like to be new. Number four, my responsibility is not simply to carry out a task, but to engage each person individually. Can you see how starting your Sunday morning in that place would open up something really remarkable in your hearts? If that was your starting point, if your starting point was helping other people experience God's love, what do you think that would do to your senses as you started to worship God? Our team coach, Tony, said this to me. She said, I love greeting people on Sunday mornings because I can meet God's arms of love as I hug and welcome people into the church. By the time I get to my seat to worship, I am filled with an attitude of gratitude, hearing how God has worked in different lives throughout the week. Serving on Sunday mornings allows me to be the church as I listen and pray with other people, loving one person at a time. When we gather in this room to sing together, our heart's posture towards God can deeply impact what we're able to give and receive that morning. Certainly, there are mornings where this is going to come easily. You're going to have great interactions. You'll feel grateful. You'll feel open-hearted to God. But then there'll be other mornings that are thankless. Maybe they just didn't land quite right. There's someone who took you for granted, or you were on the receiving end of somebody's grumpiness. This is where our intentional commitments matter. So each person I encounter today is loved by God and needs to feel special. It's an easy thing to forget. I need to make a personal impact through a smile, a word of kindness, or an act of love. It's a commitment, an intentional commitment. I will remember what it feels like to be new here. My responsibility is not simply to carry out a task, but to engage each person individually. So if we're handing out programs, the job that you're signing up for is not handing out programs, but to greet each person and make them feel welcome and like this is the place that they're going to meet God. Which finally brings us to how serving lets us experience the fullness of being a family. Now, as an aside, I want to tell you something. Last night, as I was tweaking my sermon, I realized that I had this theme going on of oriented hearts and open hearts. There are all these O words. And I thought, if I can find one more O word, Bill will be really proud of me. So, experience the fullness of family. Our final O, serving lets us have overlapped hearts, right? No applause? All right. Overlapped hearts, right. It's helpful to reflect on who is worshiping next to us. At our training events, we bring out these anonymous prayer requests from over the years as a way to help people connect with the person they might be greeting in the morning as they walk into church. And these are a couple years old because I didn't want to do fresh ones in case those people didn't want those things shared even anonymously. So they're a couple years old, but I think that these are really common experiences. They're pretty universal. So these are real prayer requests that we've received. My wife is having some chronic health problems and may require some pretty intense surgery. She's asking God to show her a way out of the worst-case option. She's had many operations already and is weary of them. I would like for there to be reconciliation between my father and my siblings. So at this point, start thinking about the people around you, the people who are sitting near you. I could use prayer for physical healing, frequent migraines, rheumatoid arthritis, and allergies. I was laid off again due to budget issues. It's a big disappointment. This is twice now in just under a year. It's very unexpected. And I've really thought this new position was an excellent fit, a feeling strongly shared by my coworkers, and this time I got a very small severance, so it's scary. These are people who were once sitting in this auditorium at some seat in this space. Maybe they were worshiping God right next to you. Maybe you were hearing their voice faintly behind you as we sang together. Everybody here has a story to tell. Everybody here has joys and sorrows and wins and losses each week. And it's easy to take that for granted or to not stop and take that in. Worship and community can be a strangely isolated experience. When I do welcome on Sunday mornings, my hope is that you'll have a meaningful connection between you and God. That's what I say. And the truth is that there's something even better about when we connect with God together, when it's not just you and God. Our team captain, Sean, told me serving others has been the equivalent of fulfilling my spiritual hunger, the way a nice home-cooked meal from grandma would satisfy with the warm, cozy feeling versus the temporary boost I would get from other things like buying gadgets and gizmos. It has also helped me feel very blessed by really getting to meet and see the folks who attend and are a part of the church. You experience God in a more active manner versus passively receiving his grace. For Sean, he is discovering the richness of what being a part of this family means through serving. God is at work here. From the minute that somebody arrives at our parking lot to the moment that they leave, not just the newcomers, but people and people he hasn't touched less, everybody here. Here's the thing about church as a family. You are part of it, whether you are feeling it or not. So think about being a part of a biological family. Let's say your sibling had a child. You are now an aunt or an uncle to that child. It doesn't matter if you're a good aunt or a good uncle to the child. You just are an aunt or an uncle to the child. It's the same thing when somebody brings a new baby or a new kid into our church. We are all a part of that spiritual experience for that kid. We are all a part of raising that kid together and making sure that they are following Jesus. We're all praying, playing a part of that child's journey towards Jesus. Or if your biological brother needs help, let's say in your family. If you have the means in a good family, we help them, unless that would enable some really bad behavior. It's the same here. When somebody is sitting at the end of your row and they need help, it's on all of us to be that person's brother, be that person's sister. We are just a part of this family by being a part of the Emerson Vineyard. We don't just come and consume. We come and we are creating the church together. And so we say, be the church at church. And here's the best part for me. In Hebrews 6:10, God says this, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That's what it means to be the church. We are being the kingdom of God. One of my volunteers, one of our dedicated Welcome Center volunteers, I think he's out here today, Peter told me this. He said, I am the type of person who wants to be the last one into the church and the first one out. I knew that that was preventing me from feeling comfortable, from getting to know anyone. And then I heard that the church needed help in certain ministries, and so I joined the Harvest Food Cafe and I started volunteering with Communion and at the Welcome Center. Those opportunities to volunteer help me to meet people in church and then to feel more at home myself. I'm still a bit introverted, but these ministries have helped me grow as a Christian. Just meeting and working with other Christians has helped me to be more comfortable with my own Christianity. As time has gone on, or I've tried volunteering in other ministries, and each time I've grown a little personally and felt that I share in the ownership of our church. When we serve, we are creating the church together. We're moving from consumption towards creation. I do not get to create Apple products. I have nothing to do with the Bulls' chances of winning a championship, but I am deeply involved in the creation of this church. And not just because I'm a pastor here, but because I'm part of this family. And so are you. We're all in this together. It's like our mission statement. We say our mission statement here is to introduce people to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth. Now, when I first started coming to the church, some 10 years ago, I understood that to mean that the church leaders are here to introduce me, Dave Sandell, to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth. And that was true for a season. But as I grew, the mission statement grew with me. As I became a part of the family, it changed. I moved from being someone checking out the church to calling the Vineyard home, and suddenly the Emerson Vineyard was introducing people to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth, and therefore I was introducing people to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth. And even though it was years before I would take on a leadership role, that was still true, even of me. You are introducing people to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth every day with your lives. And so, of course, we want to be the church when we gather together on Sunday mornings to worship and to celebrate and to reconnect and to grow together as followers of Jesus and have a home base, because when we leave these doors together, we're out there introducing people to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth together, because that's what's on our plate. That's the calling on our lives. It moves us from being served to serving, from consumption to creation, from receiving from Jesus to becoming more like Jesus. Now, something I really love about Peter and Adriana and Tony and Sean's words is that they didn't wait for somebody to personally ask them to be on a team. Rather, they just went searching for what God is doing, and they sought out a starting point. And Adriana and her story talked about finding the starting point at one of our serving fairs, and so we thought today would be a good time to have another serving fair. So today, in the lobby after the service. There are going to be teams of people at these tables as you walk out the door, and they would love to tell you about their team. There are some teams that take 5 minutes a week. There are some teams that take whole mornings. There's teams where you get to make huge, massive impacts on children, and teams where you're in the back room counting offering. There are lots of teams for different people's personalities and gifts and the energy they feel like they have to give this week. And so we hope that you'll check that out today before you leave. We hope you'll stop by if you're not already serving in some capacity and sign up for one of those teams. It is the best place to get started being in the church at church. So we invite you to stop by today. Now, as I mentioned, I'm going to change gears just a little bit. Today is the last day of our Be the Church series. But it's not the last day that we're going to talk about what it means to be the church this year. And so we've created something that we want to do together as a church family during the season of Lent, which begins this Wednesday at Ash Wednesday. And so what I need right now is for five very brave people to come up and do a very quick volunteer job for me. So five people, if you could just make your way up to the stage. Now, in a moment, I'm going to tell you what you're being handed, but I want to take a moment to reflect on what's happening right now. So earlier, I compared serving on Sundays to playing in a symphony or playing for the bowls. And what's missing in that analogy is the applause. Because you don't get that when you serve somebody a cup of coffee. Nobody stands up and cheers for you. And so I hope that you'll hear the conviction in my voice. Because there's a risk that this is going to sound condescending. But what I truly mean it when I say this, that these five people right now are doing kingdom work. They're connecting you with something that I think can help move your relationship with Jesus towards Jesus and help you become more like Jesus. They are a conduit for your journey as followers of Jesus. This is no small thing. They are being evangelists. They are being church builders. They are creating this church together in the smallest possible way. And so, can we please show them some love? You know what I'm realizing is I didn't give myself a calendar, so that's helpful. Actually, can I borrow one of those? Thanks. All right. Does everybody have one? Anybody else need one? Okay, great. So what you're looking at right now is called the Be the Church Lent Calendar. We've been working on this for the last couple months. I'm really excited to try this out together. The season of Lent begins this Wednesday at Ash Wednesday. It's a chime in the church calendar where we set time aside to get intentional about keeping our lives centered on Jesus. And it lasts roughly the 6 weeks between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday. And this year we created this activity calendar because we want to do this as a church together. So, each day during Lent, front and back, is a different activity that will help you to be the church. And you might notice that at the top of the row, there's these black boxes that relate to one of the weeks of our Be the Church series. Does that make sense? So on Sundays, we are being the church at church. On Tuesdays, we're being the church with and at work. On Thursdays, we're being the church in the city and the world. And on Saturdays, we're being the church in your neighborhood. And then on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, we're talking about or doing activities that connect us to what it means that the church is an army, that the church is a hospital for our bodies and souls, and our church is a family. So some of my favorite examples, to give you a feel for some of the types of activities here, next Friday, which is the 7th of March, we want you to share a meal with a family member or somebody who you're friends with and look at the calendar together. So pretty easy. Something fun. You get to get together with people and just look through the calendar, talk about what it would mean to be a part of this together. The following week, others are meant to get you out of your comfort zone. So March 15th, we want you to introduce somebody you regularly interact with, but don't know personally. So somebody serving you at a check-in line. For me, that's going to be the guys behind the deli counter and marketplace on Oakton, because we always have conversations, but I do not know their name. They do not know my name. We have no relationship, but we talk week after week. And so I'm going to introduce myself to those people, and it's going to be uncomfortable. Or not uncomfortable, hopefully, but there's a risk. On March 19th, you'll keep looking here, it's a guided prayer time. And so just take some time in your day to talk with Jesus about what your hopes and your fears are. On the 27th of March, we're praying together for our partnership with believers in Tajikistan. We've spent some time talking about being the church in the city and the world. We have all of these other believers around the world that we're partnering with and doing this together with, and so we're going to take time to pray for them. And then on into April, we're doing something thoughtful for a neighbor, we're exercising, we're sharing more meals together, and there's plenty of more activities as well. Now, one really important piece of this that I hope a lot of you will take a part in is that we're facilitating a discussion each day on our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/Evanston Vineyard. We'll talk a little bit more about each activity. We'll post a prayer that you can pray if you are doing that activity that day. And we would encourage you to, as a community, just come in and chime in about how that went for you, what you're scared about for that, anything that you want to say off the top of your head, either before you do it or after you do it. We just really want to feel like we're in this together as a family, and that's a place where we feel like we can do that in the week between being here on Sunday morning. And so we hope that you will post how it went and join us on Facebook and take part in these activities throughout Lent. And if you miss a day, then you miss a day, and you just pick it up the next day. Don't feel like there's all this pressure to make it happen every single day. Hopefully you'll do that. Sometimes I have this history of it's suddenly week three and I haven't started yet, and so I just say forget it. We want you to continue being a part of this even if you miss a day or two. All right, we'll post more information about this on our website this week so you can learn more about the Lent calendar together. And remember to come out to Ash Wednesday this week so the band can start making their way up. All right, so Lent, I want to tell you a little bit about Lent and as we bring this to a close. Lent has been this really important time for me in my walk as a follower of Jesus. I think it's really easy to get into a spiritual routine as Christians that misses the weight and the depth of what it means, what happened on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And so Ash Wednesday and Lent in general has been for me this time of bringing my life to a screeching halt. And I come into this auditorium, and I put ashes on my forehead, and I worship together, and I walk the stations of the cross. I can participate in communion, participate in confession with one other person. And I sit and I reflect on big questions. And it puts my head in a different space, maybe because it's midweek, maybe because the date moves around every year. It's never quite the same. I can't really prepare for it. Maybe because we make some stylistic choices to have the room look different than we do on a regular Sunday morning. But it's disruptive for me. Ash Wednesday disrupts my daily grind. In the end, that's what we mean when we say be the church. Church isn't about spiritual entertainment. Church is not a club or a hobby. It's not about buildings and pastors and websites. It's about becoming like Jesus together, because we can't possibly do it alone. It's about having a family that is going after the same values and visions as us. It's about the mundane heroism of making better choices when there's an easier or more convenient path that we could take. And it's about having support of our family around us as we do those things. I'm proud to be the church with you guys. I'm proud that people look at you and make decisions about what the Evanston Vineyard is. And that's why being the church is more than a series. It's why we want to take it into Lent and beyond. It's because we, all of us, are introducing people to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth, Sunday through Saturday, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, because Jesus is worth that kind of commitment. So let's praise him together.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you've called us to be different and you've set us apart. And Lord, we choose to say yes, and we choose to decide to be your saints, Father. Lord, we come before you now, and we want to be changed. So just come and use this time to speak to us. We're hungry for you, God.
Jesus, I feel very lucky that I get to be part of this family. I pray that you will come today and just inspire all of us to go out into the world and introduce people to your life-changing power. God, will you come and give us a sense of community and family if we haven't experienced that yet? Will you help to build this church together and weave our lives into each other? Give us a new vision of what it means to be a church. We love you, and we want to go out and do the work that you have for us. We want our lives to be yours. We want to serve you. So all of the ways that we have become inward focused, will you just start to show us where the seam of that is so that we can come out of that cocoon and serve you? Will you give us a vision of what our lives, how much better our lives can be if we are out in the world living for you? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.